Again, mark your Bibles this morning in the book of James chapter 5 and in Psalm, the 41st division, Psalm 41. So having marked James chapter 5 and now wanting to read to you one verse, if I may, in the book of Psalm, in the 41st division of Psalm. And as you're turning to these two places, my title this morning would be Praying Through the Pain. I believe that pain is as natural of an event that can happen to us to let us know something is not right. If you're hurting today, that is God's way of letting you know something is not right. Where do you hurt today? I know your ankles may hurt, or our backs may hurt, or our heads may hurt, but I'm asking today, do you ever feel like your heart hurts or your soul hurts? Maybe we could dive a little deeper this morning and define, what does it mean to hurt? What is pain? It means it's not in the condition it should be, or it means that it's lacking something? All of those probably would be true. But David here in the Psalms is talking about how that he'd been neglected. Nobody was there with him. And through the pain of the aloneness, listen to what he prayed for in Psalm 41 and in verse 4. Lord, be merciful unto me. All these people had forsaken him. He was hurting. And he said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Hold that place for just a moment. Let's go to the book of James for just a minute. Praying through the pain that you and I may endure in this life. Praying through the pain that may come our way along the way. And it's not a matter of if it ever comes. It's a matter of when. What do we do? James chapter 5, and let's go down to the 15th verse. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Glory this morning, if a person's sick and they pray that God's going to heal them, but listen to the next part of that, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Sometimes the weight of sin weighs us down, but listen to what James is teaching us. He said, if you pray, when you pray and believing and trusting in God, he said, God not only will heal your sickness, but God also will pick you up and set you up where you need to be. For he said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Folks, this morning we're going to talk a little bit more about here in the book of James in just a moment. But notice this, when we read that it talks about that healing has happened, it means forgiveness has transpired in that person's life. Folks, let me ask you this. Do you believe that God forgives? Do you believe that forgiveness changes your... Let me use this word carefully. Do you believe that feelings are changed when God saves you, heals you, that you feel different? Maybe that's the word I'm looking for. Do you feel different after you get saved? You know what? If you're here this morning and you wonder, have I been saved? Have I not been saved? Am I lost? Or whatever it is. I want to tell you something. We're not talking about the level of it. We're just simply going to state this morning and agree on this. If you've been saved, something has changed. Right. Now, it may not be the change that you think, or it may not come in the magnitude by which you might have expected it to, but things change in your life. Your outlook and the way that you believe in things and the things that transpire. For here in James chapter 4, he's talking about how that if you pray and you seek God, that change is going to happen. Let's read if we can in the book of Psalms 41st chapter, if you mark that, go back there again. What is this prayer that David was praying here? Lord, be merciful unto me. I'm going to give you a belief that I have, and I believe it's a very scriptural belief. That folks, when you go to God, first and foremost, you've got to go to God on your own behalf. I want you to listen to what I'm saying this morning. When I say that you've got to talk to God on your own behalf, sometimes we get to a point and a place in our life, we can't worry about anybody else. It's simply about between us and God. I remember when I was lost for about, 7, 8, 9 years in there. I thought, I'd already said I was a member of the church, but I was lost. I was worried about what were people going to say, what were people going to think. But I want to tell you folks, I got to a place in my life, I didn't care about anybody else. I wasn't worried about anybody else. My sins, I was lost, and I needed Jesus, folks. If you've ever been saved, you will get to a place and a point where, Lord, be merciful unto me. Sometimes the idea and the theory is that if you can make somebody else look worse than you are, then it makes you look better. You know what we all are in the eyes of God? We're all sinners. Every one of us. I know that in the eyes of the laws of the land, I know our court systems are filled full of people that have different levels or different degrees of crimes that they have committed. But folks, when it comes to our sinful nature, we're all equally sinners in the eyes of God that are in need of Jesus Christ. There's some good people in this world. But I also believe there's some good people in hell right now too. I believe there are people today that are Christian people that have not done so good things in their life. They've made mistakes. But it's not about our deeds that we do, and that's another topic, but yes, they can reflect that. But the truth is that we are learning today is that, Lord, be merciful to me. When David began to pray and he was going through this loneliness or this time in his life where he felt like that he had been abandoned, he was coming to a place that he understood God's holiness versus his sinfulness. Let's come into church this morning and let's ask ourselves, God's holiness versus our sinfulness. Folks, let me tell you something. Wherever sin abound, the grace did the more abound. Folks, it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what's going on in your life, and how often you've done it. The thing about it is God's grace is sufficient to forgive you of those things if we pray. And David began to pray. He said, Lord, be merciful to me. He understood that he was a sinner. He understood that he had wrong in his life. For Paul tells us, I'll read it to you real quick in Romans chapter 8 in the 23rd verse, he said, and not only they, but ourselves also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. We're saved by hope. Listen to what he said, that we can overcome the sinfulness that is seen not in hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Folks, we have a hope. We have a belief in something that is greater than we are, a place that is greater than we are. But when David here in Psalms, in this 41st division of Psalm, he said, Lord, be merciful to me. Hold that place for just a minute. Let's go into Luke's gospel for just a moment. The 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 18, and let's skip down to the 13th verse. Lord, be merciful to me. That's exactly what David said. The Pharisees stood. I'm going back up to verse 11 here. The Pharisees stood, and he prayed thus with himself. Well, God, I thank thee. Again, let's look at our righteousness and our sinfulness and God's righteousness compared to the two. But God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Remember what we said just a minute ago, that sometimes if we can bring out somebody else's faults, it makes us look better, but we're all sinful people. That I am not as other men are. What are these other men? They're extortioners. They're unjust. They're adulterers. He said, not even that. And it's almost like he was saying, look at all these things that they have done. He said, or even this little publican over here, which is what he's defining as a tax collector. Now, tax collectors didn't always have a good reputation. Why? People don't want to pay taxes. Especially if taxes were wrongfully gained. He said, I'm not of these people. I'm not trying to hurt people's feelings. I'm not trying to make people mad. I'm not trying to take from people. He said, I'm just trying to do good in my life. And you know what? That's a fault. Well, I appreciate people that want to do good in their life. But let's keep reading. He said, not only am I trying to do good in my life, he said, I fast twice in a week. I really have a question when I read that. One, do you really fast twice in a week? But two, what good is it doing? If you fast and the result of that is pride, then you're not fasting in the right way. Because fasting is intended to show you your need for Christ in your life. It's another lesson of the day. He said, when I do fast twice in a week, he said, not only do I have this fasting, I do. He said, I give tithes, I support, he said, to all that I possess. The publican standing afar off. Jesus is comparing the hearts of two different people. The hearts, they're in the same place, he said. But he's talking about that they're in the same place in a spiritual need. And the publican standing afar off. This despised tax collector was standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven. A tax collector. A religious leader. See, you and I this morning, by comparison, if you were to say, God, who do you love the most? Or who would you favor the most? A tax collector that could be cheating people? Or a religious leader? Folks, may we learn from this morning that religion alone is not good enough to get you to heaven. Religion alone is not good enough to get you to heaven. You can have perfect attendance on church, but that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. What means if you're going to heaven is, have you ever prayed and sought the Lord like David did and said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Folks, that's the difference in heaven and hell. The publican began to smote, he said. He was standing afar off. Here in this particular place he's in, you got a righteous man that was in a religious place. You got this publican, this tax collector that was afar off, and he was standing afar off. He was separated. By the way, what happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned in the Garden of Eden? The Bible teaches us that they were separated from God. There's no pain any greater. Now, I know that there's pain that you can have upon your bodies, especially if it involves nerves or whatever. There's pains that can be inflicted on this body that on a scale of 1 to 10, they're going to be an 11. I get that. But also believe that different from any physical pain you may have, there's a pain about being separated from God. Today, would you agree with me if I told you that being lost, separated from God and in sin, would you agree with me if I said it hurts? It's miserable. Today, that's what happens when you are lost. There's a pain that's there. There's a separation that's there. There's a loneliness that's there. And David began to pray in the psalm in the 41st division. He said, Lord, be merciful to me. The publican here, he said he was standing afar off. It's amazing how that the one that was far off from the religious place was going to commune with the Lord in a way that was pleasing. The one that was in the religious place, they were not going to commune in the way that they should have. Folks, this morning, it's not about the place that you're in. It's all about the condition of your heart. Can I say that one more time? One was standing afar off. One was standing in a very holy place. One pridefully said, well, I thank you that I'm not like all these people that are adulterers and these other people. And you had one that was standing afar off, smote his breast, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Folks, it's not about where you physically are. It's about the condition of your heart. This morning, if your heart is hurting, you must get to a place like David, like Scott, like anybody else that's ever been saved and found a relationship with God. You must come to a place that you say, not these words, but this condition, God be merciful unto me. You ask for mercy because you understand Justice is real. We may get into that in just a minute. But what are you praying for? And what do we want to be delivered of? He was standing afar off. He said he would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven. Sometimes, I don't know what the psychology is. That's not a field that I can probably justifiably stand before you and tell you. But it's just something about wrong that it's hard to look people in the eye. I don't know what the idea behind that is, but there's just something about not being able to have that eye contact, or it's hard sometimes to have that eye contact. You know why? Because guilt is a real thing. Let me ask you today, have you ever experienced a time in your life when you felt guilt? I remember a time when I was growing up, my parents never laid one hand on me for something I had done. It was simply me having to understand that what I did was wrong. I was simply sitting on the couch in the den, and there was just this overwhelming guilt. Nobody touched me. Nobody said a word to me. But there was an overwhelming guilt because I knew what I had done, and I knew that I was guilty. But I'm telling you this morning, because if you're ever going to get saved, it's not so much about what somebody physically does to you. It's about you understanding that you are hurting and you need to pray through the pain you're in and that you might be healed. The publican said he would not, he said, even lift up his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast. Pharisee, he didn't really recognize his sin, or he didn't admit his sin. He thought he was maybe not completely above sin, but he was just a little above sin. You know what, folks? The truth of the matter is, every one of us, none of us are above any form of sin. We all are guilty of our sinful nature that's in need of a Redeemer, which is Jesus Christ. Every one of us are guilty of that. But I tell you that this morning because he simply prayed, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." I wasn't saved by merit. You that are saved here this morning, you are not saved by merit. And what I mean by that is, you're not saved because you've earned it or you deserved it or you're entitled to it. We're saved because of God's mercy. Amen. We're guilty. That's what this is about this morning. We are guilty people. We are hurting people. We are people in pain. But what do we do with that pain? You know what I've learned in our medical society is if people have pain, instead of treating the problem, they want to numb the symptoms. Can I say that one more time? In a physical sense, it's a seemingly growing trend. Instead of treat the problem, let's numb ourselves from the pain or the symptoms that comes along with it. You know what people are doing? They're indulging themselves in all the sinfulness of the world, trying to numb themselves of a sinful nature that they were born in. Do you believe today that the world has all kinds of things out there that want to numb us to our sinful nature? Let's just quit talking in code and let's just say it like this. We are sinful people that need Jesus, and if we're not careful, the world will distract us, thinking us, we do not need him right now. We've got too many other things that are more important. May we all agree this morning, there is nothing more important than a soul getting saved by the grace of God. But the world will numb you and tell you that, why don't you try this or try this? This is what's fun, or this is what you need in life. This is where you go, or this is how you do it, folks. I'm telling you, of all the things in your life that people may tell you that you need, there are none today any greater than your need for Jesus. And I'll even say your need for understanding, you need to have mercy, for be merciful to me, a sinner. If you don't ever get saved, you don't really understand what it's like for God's mercy to be upon you. If you don't get saved, you're going to understand what the wrath of God is all about, though. The wrath of God is real, folks. And we read here in the 18th chapter, in this 13th verse, that he said he would not even lift up his eyes. He smote his breast and said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." But now let's look at that 14th verse. And I tell you that this man went down to his house justified. The Pharisee was not justified, but the one that asked for mercy did. Oh, wait a minute. Can we get into the word justified for just a minute? It's where your legal standing changes. You know what, this morning, let me just sum it up like this. Folks, if you've not been saved, you are sentenced and you are bound for hell. If you get saved, you get justified, justification happens, it changes our state and our status, but that only happens by the blood of Jesus Christ. For he said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Pharisee never acknowledged his sinfulness. Matter of fact, he showed his pride. Well, I thank thee, he said, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this publican. 14th verse says that he went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Turning back to Psalms for just a minute. David began to pray in that 41st chapter. Lord, be merciful unto me. And listen to what he asked him to do. Heal my soul. I'm thankful today, and I'm going to say this carefully because I don't want to get into political realms of things. I'm thankful today that our government gets involved and they want to make sure that people have health care, and they want to make people, it's important that people get their bodies taken care of. And I agree with that. Your physical health is important. But I want to tell you, there is nothing more important than your spiritual health. Now, I'm not saying the government's got to supply the needs for our spiritual health, but I will say this. I pray that our government always stays out of the way, that the Church of the Living God can keep providing the spiritual nourishment that a lost and hurting world needs to hear. The world's being numbed by so many things, but listen to what David said. He said, Lord, be merciful to me. And then he said, heal my soul. Much more than our physical health. Physical health is important. Mental health is important. Financial health is important. All kinds of things we can say is important. But I want to understand this. More than anything else, your spiritual health is the most important thing. The most important thing. And that's why he said, heal my soul. Let me read to you the book of Jeremiah, one verse, if I may. The book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 17. If you're turning to the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, listen to what David said in Psalm 41. Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul. Jeremiah 17 and verse 14 says this. Heal me, O Lord. Before I read the rest of that verse, you may come up to me and say, Scott, heal me. I may do something to you and you may get up and walk away not healed because I don't have no power to do those things. Or you may say, Scott, fix my car. And I try to fix your car and that car is still messed up when you leave here. Let me ask you something, though. If God touches and God intervenes, do you think God's successful in what he does? Amen. Folks, if you're hurting and you're going to pray through the pain, God can heal. Listen to what Jeremiah 17 and 14 said. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. You want the definition of healed? What God gives you. I love this. He said, save me, and I shall be saved. Heal me and I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved. Listen to what Jeremiah said. God, if there's anybody that can allow me to change the condition I'm in, it's you and you alone. He said, heal me and I'll be healed. Save me and I'll be saved. For thou art my praise. Jeremiah was trying to lead an example to the people that the only way to heal the condition of what they were going through and all the environment, I guess you would say, that they were in. Jeremiah was trying to tell them, if you get your soul right with God, everything else is going to fall in place. Everything else had fallen apart. Everything else was in disarray. They were hurting and they were without. And all these things were transpiring. And Jeremiah said, if you'll heal us, we'll be healed. If you'll save us, we'll be saved. He said, it all starts with the condition of our heart. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. A lot of people, and this is one of the things I think Jeremiah might have been facing. The problem is they're sick and they don't know they're sick. Sometimes we'll hear this kind of phrase walking around, or that we're walking around with a sickness or disease we didn't even know we had. You know what? There's something that we're all walking around with, and some people are not aware that they have it, but there's something I can tell you that they carry right now. They all carry sin. These children, as they're growing up, and I hear them, and you hear them in church and in Sunday school and in your life, they're getting bigger and they're bigger. I can tell you, from the time they walk in here, the very first cute time we get to see these little darlings, they're innocent. They are. There's nothing more innocent than a child because they can't feed themselves. They cannot do anything. They're in need of someone to take care of them. But even in that innocent state, you can tell, not just by the evidence, but you can tell from the Word of God, they still have sin. There's going to come a time that even in their innocent state, that they're going to grow up. Maybe you've reached that time in your life where God has shown you, you need to be saved. You need to get out of the sin that you're in. And notice what happens. Is that when Jeremiah said that you've got to understand that you're sick and you can be healed of that. He said you've got to understand that you're lost so that you can be saved. You have to understand that you possess these things in order for those things to happen. But do we think that God can heal and change and do things? Absolutely. Turn with me to the book of 2 Kings for just a minute. I love these scriptures. 2 Kings chapter 20. Bear with me as I read through these verses for just a minute. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, and thou shalt die and not live. He turned his face to the wall, and he prayed to the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have talked with thee before in truth and with perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day, thou shalt go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they laid it on the bowl, and he recovered. This is kind of like a natural medicine or remedy, he said. Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? It's a sign. How do I know that God has done this? Isn't that a popular question right now? God, how do I know it's you? I want to ask you, if you're here this morning, I've got a wonderful answer I'm fixing to tell you. If you're here this morning and you're asking yourself, God, how do I know? Let's find your answer. What shall be a sign that Isaiah will heal me and that I will go up to the house of the Lord the third day? Verse 9, and Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. So shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? Here's what he's talking about, a sundial. Now, you and I, right now, you can't stop the sun. You cannot stop that sun. Sundials are pretty amazing. Matter of fact, I've seen them now where they're pretty detailed. That you put a dial out, and the way it puts a shadow on the ground, you can tell what time it is. So like if it's 11 o'clock, you put a sundial, and it knows where the sun's at, and it'll tell you where it's at. So here's the thing he said. The natural progression of the sun, rise in the east and set in the west. So the natural progression of a clock is 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. That's natural progression. Now listen to what's going to happen. He said, God, if this is you that's doing this work, he said, how will I know that it's you? Now he said, can I move the clock ahead 10 degrees? Now, that might seem, by the way, that might seem really amazing that time goes forward. Only God can make time go forward. I understand that, but that's natural progression, just sped up. Listen to what he said, dude. He said, no, don't let it go forward 10 degrees. He said, instead, let something happen that's never happened to you before. How many of you, when you got saved, something happened to you that had never happened before? You don't get saved twice, folks. You only get saved once in life. So when you get saved, something happened to you that had never happened before, and it cannot be explained, can it? So you know what he said? He said, let's look at the sundial. He said, and Hezekiah answered, verse 10, it's a like thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. In other words, move forward. And he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down the dial of Ahaz. Folks, today, listen to what happened. God could have sped up that time and said, you know what? Something amazing is happening. He said, no, no. He said, I want you to have something happen in your life that is so amazing that it defies even the very idea of science that time's going to roll back. Something that has happened to you once and it'll never happen again. Folks, if you get saved, it's going to happen once and it'll never happen again, because you are signed and you are sealed by the very power and the blood of Jesus Christ until that day of redemption. It's approved by God. It's a work by God. And God wants to grant these things unto you. And my prayer is today that God would give you these things. But listen to what David was praying. He said, I have sinned against thee. Luke chapter 12. I want to turn back here for just a minute in the New Testament. Luke chapter 12. And as you're turning to Luke chapter 12, our English language, we use the word like homophones, words that sound alike. You know, the H-O-M-O means, it's a word that means sounds or speaks. When you get into homologos here, this is a word, it's a Latin word that we're going to get, that means to speak like another. I'm telling you that because I want you to listen. I've got an opinion, you've got an opinion, and you know what opinions are, don't you? Everybody's got them. Whose is important? I'm going to go ahead and give you a trick, a little head right quick. God's answer is the one that's sufficient. Listen to what he said. Luke chapter 12 and verse 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess. The word confess is a Greek word to mean homologo, which just means people that talk like Christ. What does that mean, preacher? What are you trying to say? If God calls it this, you've got to do the same thing and call it exactly what God calls it. Soak that up for just a second. God says this is this. If God says, I'm going to get very, very literal with you. If God says this picture is green, we have to understand the picture is green. God says it's green. Well, it could be green, or you put it in this light, or let's fade it out, folks. If God says it's green, it's green. If God says it's sin, and we got to call sin, sin. Follow along with me. He said, and it shall come that whosoever shall confess me before men, Jesus is saying, whoever's talking like I'm talking, whoever's living like I'm living, who's ever doing what I'm doing, he said, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me, in other words, he's talking about being of the same mind. Are you of the same mind of God? We've been talking about over the last several weeks about how, and during a Bible study about Paul and the Philippians and how they were in harmony together and how they were on the same page and how that they wanted to be one with another. Folks, today, isn't it amazing that if you're in sync with God and I'm in sync with God, that we're both in sync together? If you're saying the things of God and I'm saying the things of God, guess what we're doing? We're all singing the same song. But if you stop and listen, This idea becomes this person's idea, which becomes this group's idea, this person's idea. Folks, today, I don't mean this in no disrespect. I don't care one thing about what anybody else thinks. It's about what does God say. God says, He said, "For whosoever," He said, "denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." Let's go to the book of James and we'll close in just a minute. James said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Confess your faults one to another. Now, I want you to think that the word confess here is going to be the same thing. He's not saying that I have to tell you what I've done, you have to tell me what I've done. He said the word confess just simply means the same Greek word again. That just means talk the same thing. I love it when churches are in harmony. You know what harmony means? We're not only in harmony one with another, but we're in harmony with God. You know when your pain goes away? I'm going to kind of get back around to what we said at the beginning. You know when your pain goes away? When we're in harmony with God instead of the world. Can I say that one more time? Our pain goes away, spiritually speaking, when we are in harmony with God. How long are you going to kick against those pricks or those stops? That's what Paul was asked. He said, how long are you going to kick against the pricks? These pricks were just like long stops. Look, like I call them overgrown toothpicks. And as long as the ox would kick against that, he wasn't hurting that stop. He's only hurting himself. You know where our pain comes from? Fighting against God. That's where our pain is. Our pain and our hurt. Remember, hurt is a way of showing us something is not right. We fight against God. We hurt in our souls. And God said, how long are you going to fight against me? James teaches us, confess your faults one to another. In other words, y'all need to be saying the same thing. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. I'm going to close here in just a minute. But if you're here this morning, and sometimes you just feel like your prayer is just going to hit the ceiling and bounce right back. There's nothing any greater than somebody taking you, getting into the throne of God, and doing it on your behalf. If you're here this morning and you talk to God, let me ask you this. Not only should you get in touch with God, are you praying for others when you go? Are you taking others to God that He might hear them? He said, pray one for another. And the reason why we're praying one for another is that something evident and something that's once in a lifetime may happen. What is that? That ye may be healed. You know, a lot of people are going to make money off of and popularity off of their physical healings. But you know what today, folks? There's a spiritual healing that needs to happen. And that's what the psalmist is teaching us in the very beginning. Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Last part of what James said says this. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual fervent. You really want to dig down into those words? It means to be enthusiastic. It means to be passionate. Don't get me wrong. I think it's good that prayers come out of our mouth. It happens so often. You know, it's repetitious prayers. The Lord's Prayer. I'm not against people reciting the Lord's Prayer. But folks, you can recite the Lord's Prayer all day long. You're not going to heaven until it gets out of your heart. There's a difference if it's coming out of your mouth versus is it coming out of your heart. Effectual fervent just means when there's a sincere desire behind what you say. I have a great concern about movements that sweep around this world of, if you'll just say these words. It's not about saying the words. It's about the condition of your heart behind those words. Today, folks, it's not about the collection of words or how big or how small or long or short these things are. But what are the conditions? He said, the effectual, fervent prayer. The word prayer just means about something specific. This morning, if you are hurting, if you go to a doctor's office and he was to say, well, what's wrong? Well, I'm hurting. Where are you hurting? somewhere. What's the doctor going to tell you to do? The doctor's going to say, you got to be a little more specific. In my leg. Well, where in my leg is it? Well, it's just above my knee bone. Where above? And all of a sudden, you start drilling down and you start getting specific about where the pain is. I want to ask you a very personal question. I'm not asking you to tell me this. When is the last time you were honest with God and yourself? When is the last time that you were honest with yourself and you were honest with God and you told Him specifically what you need? Can I tell you this? Pray through the pain. It's hurting, and it's hurting somewhere specifically. At some point in our life, some aspect of our life, whether it's about the direction of our life, the health in our life, the guidance, of whatever it is in our life, Lord, whatever it is we need, have you prayed specifically for that? Pray through that pain. And David said, Lord, be merciful to me and heal my soul, for I have sinned against me. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'll tell you this, folks, big things are going to happen in your life. And I don't mean big things like drastic changes, but I'll tell you this, it was a big thing when that sundial went back, didn't it? It's a big thing when you talk to God and God changes things, and He's not going to change things drastically. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. I do not want to wear your patience. I can remember the night I got saved. I walked into church that night, had on a pair of khaki pants, had on a blue shirt, and had on a red Disney character tie. You know what I walked out of that church with? Khaki pants, a blue shirt, and a red little Disney tie on. Nothing about me changed on the outside, but there was a vast difference on the inside of what I came in versus what I left with. Folks, the change is not an outward change first. The first change happens inwardly, and then it starts manifest itself outwardly. For I want to read you Psalms one more time. Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul. For I have sinned against thee. I hope this morning that you'll pray through the pain. If you're unsaved, pray through the pain to get saved. If you're saved, you'll pray through the pain for God to give you what you need in life. God bless you. That's what I had on my heart this morning.